about 3 minutes. So when we don't want to go to work, we call in sick. Instead, we already learned really early you can't do step one and two at work. You can't call and say, I'm not coming into work today, sorry. Or we can go, I really hate coming to work. I hate all of you. You're all my worst enemies. I'm not coming. But we can do drama and crisis in, I got beat up this morning, I can't come, or I got a flat on the way to work. But our truth is we really didn't want to be at work, and it shows up in a lot of different ways. But most of us go right to sick. Now, for those of you who are in positions where you're self-employed or high-powered people, even that doesn't work. It's up to you. So we learned that the only way we can get a break is if we're just about to die or we're so exhausted or we have Epstein-Barr, we can't do it anymore. And it's, so you, and I'm treating it lightly, but at the same time, it's really sensitive and severe. There's people with heart attacks. There's people dying with AIDS, and there's people with cancer, and all that, and it's simply because they're not telling their truth. They are telling their truth, but at a level that doesn't serve them very well. I worked in a cancer unit for many years and had hundreds of people die in my arms. And I would watch families come in, and the grandpa, God damn, I hate all of you. It's about time I got a chance to tell you all. You're not in my will. And the kids are getting their hands over their ears. And the moms and daughters and all this will go, well, Grandpa's dying. It's okay for him to tell the truth. This is what Grandpa really feels. But Grandpa couldn't say it all these years because he was supposed to be the head of the family, this nice guy, the corporate executive of this family. And they don't get to have drama or crisis. Of course, many bosses do in the form of being type A jerks. That's how they get less work upon them. They keep everybody at a distance. Or they don't get to have just saying, I don't want to be here. We have to get so seriously sick. So it's real important to know if you're sick, it's not your fault. It's just your body saying, hey, please pay attention. And so it's just asking you to pay attention. Do not beat yourselves up. Do not think it's your diet or that's all a big joke. The world's just... It's not food or exercise, it's belief systems, and it's basically the biggest belief system is totally telling your truth. It's scary as all get out to tell your truth. The people that loved you said, if you tell your truth, what are you going to fall back on, right? You're going to have broken legs and all this, or we don't love you, you don't fit in, you're not our kind of person. Hang on a sec, Ed, and I'll get to you too. Did I put off something? No, I got to you, Annie, didn't I? If you don't tell your truth, we won't love you. If you tell your truth, we can't love you anymore. If they loved us in the first place, they'd never say that to us. They'd love us unconditionally. So the trick is we keep pretending to be a certain person to please them, and they never loved us anyway. Or they'd have let us be the person we were. Yeah. What's the next part? So, you know, Plato and Socrates and a number of other people tried to figure out what is truth and what is justice. My favorite comedian, Gallagher, says, well, not my favorite anymore. I saw him the other day. All of his dysfunctions coming up. I have a judgment. One of my favorite comedians. He said, I once got an F on a test that asked for my opinion. And he did that, too. When you tell your truth, it's just an opinion. It's your truth. And it's not up for grading. And it can be right and it can be wrong, but it's totally up to you. Everybody's truth is different. Now, there are some universal truths that we all seem to have some subscription to, but we're just now starting to begin to pay attention to those. But if you look at little kids, they're very truthful people, but they'll tell you 15 million stories in a minute. I'm going to be the good guy. I'm going to be the bad guy. You serve the tea. I'll receive the tea. I'm going to be the queen today. I'll be the princess. I'll be the king. And so their truth shifts and their reality goes, and they go from one flow of experience to the other without saying, is that the truth? Really? You're a king? And little kids, we've got to go back to our little kid parts and recognize we're here just to be. As my last month's chat, human beings versus human doings, right? If you're a true human being, which was what yellows, for you yellows in the room, you came here on the planet to be the meek that's going to inherit the earth to teach people that it's just one big Disneyland ride. And if they want to make it all serious, let them, but don't kill yourself trying to please them. You know, have y'all figured that out? It was the Christians, the blue and the violet Christians that got fried at the stake by the tan and green mental types. And so they turned the other cheek and did all that, and we are the meek that are going to inherit the earth. And then they look at the yellows who go surfing all the time and don't have responsible jobs and spend the money the minute you put it in their hand. They go, and you got to save the planet. You got to recycle. You need to pay more attention. You can't be having fun all the time. When are you going to grow up and get a real job? The yellows going, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. So we all have different jobs and different roles, it's true. But our truth is different as each individual person. And the cool thing about truth is the minute you start telling it, by the time it gets halfway out of your mouth, you're going to have a whole new truth. You're going to be consistent in only one way. You're going to be consistently inconsistent. So if anybody's going to count on you for anything, tell them they quit projecting their reality on you. Because if they're counting on you to be real, they're going to see their therapist a lot more than once a week. Yeah. You asked me if aura colors change from day to day. The life colors that I'm chatting about are these filters closest to your body, and they don't change. They change in percentage and they change in hue. Like when I see somebody who's about to die, it gets real transparent and real faint, and it gets all pulled in, like somebody turned down the energy knob. When I see somebody doing their greatest joy or really out there, it has electric, radiant, fluorescent, vibrant stuff. But there are many, many other bands that show health status and interpersonal and people's energies. I usually can instantly tell if somebody's in a relationship or not by whose energies they're wearing, and I can tell them all about their partner before they say anything, because they're wearing their partner with them. Oh yeah, you live with the tan person, and so yeah. But we interface with all of our other parts, so we do change those. But the ones closest to the body are, in my experience, are permanent. And I imagine once we get our full expression here, we could probably change them. And I know some very amazing people who go around the planet doing full expression of their energies and still haven't changed them. There's Amici, the Holy Mother, for those of you who've heard of her, is this really big blue lady. And all she does is go around the planet doing what blues came here to do, love people. She doesn't sleep. She does it 24 hours a day. People come and sit in her arms and just fall to pieces or get enlightened or have unconditional love. It's her job. But she always has, every time I see her picture or tune into her, she's always got her blues. Yes, she has this big golden band also, which is it's a pretty amazing frequency. It pulls in a lot of extra knowingness. But her blue energy is always there. And when I look at Jesus and some of the others, they have a main frequency that they hold. Yeah, and Jesus was a yellow and green. So you have this big kid with brains. And yellow and greens can be pretty interesting. When they're working, they wish they were playing, and when they're playing, they wish they were working. And if they had coffee back then or caffeine, he'd have been drinking lots of it, because greens love that, and that yellows need it to make themselves work. So the energy stays the same. The outer energies do the shifting. Your truth will change. And moment to moment, and as you get more into your center and you get to do it for you and not for them, you'll be braver with it. And you don't have to do it instantly. We're all working on doing it. This person here, this yellow being in the front, is probably the most truthful, amazing person I've ever met. And one of the things we talk about is how, even in being so truthful, it creates isolation and alienation, because people aren't always able to handle a truthful person. Because their issues come to bear. You tell them the truth and they take it personal. She tells me the truth, I take it personal. And she goes, hey, it's not me criticizing you, it's your stuff. Our first date, we drive up in the car, I walk around to open the door, and I say, can I open the door for you? She goes, no. Uh-oh. Got my feelings hurt, she doesn't love me, what did I do wrong, she doesn't like me. So I get my first lecture, it was really good. I'm going to do something with my makeup in the mirror, and I just wanted to do it, and I didn't need to say, oh gee, I'm going to look in the mirror and do my makeup, can you wait just a minute, please? The answer would have been no anyways without all the explanation, so I just said no. If you take it personal, go do your homework. It's, you know, some of us get it in our face, and some of us, I'll hope to do it lightly for you. No. Do the nice no's. But the important thing is to recognize that it's us. It's come back to your centers, be interconnected with everyone, and use the judgment. And don't, if you guys read the Thor Color book, don't use it to say, well, I'm a green and you're not, or I'm a violet and you're not, and I'm a yellow and you're not. It's all part of the whole. We're all interconnected. It's not to, and you'll find if you do this, you'll see what your joy is. If you take a yellow and try to make them CEO of a company, they'll drop dead. If you take a CEO and try to make them surf god of California, they'll drop dead. And it's just the way it is. And yet, everybody says, well, if I'm a yellow, I can't make any money doing that. It's not true. Every energy is totally equipped with the ability to create energy in as well as put energy out. And that's all money is energy. And so it's a matter of being your true self. Often a lot of the dis-ease, especially the exhaustion and dis-ease of not having money, has to do with not being your true colors. I guess that's a saying we use here. You blues are the ones who are really emotional. And I'm sure you've heard I'm feeling blue. Or when women get pregnant, it blues the mom's energy. So when women get pregnant, they often put on blue. And we have a thing called the postpartum blues. Yellows, when people add yellow or lighten their hair, they add more yellow to their aura. Yellows are here to have joy and fun. Blondes do have more fun because blondes tend to have more yellow, and if they add lightness to their hair, they add more yellow. Reds are the ones who are really intense, like I'm seeing red. Or it's not easy being green, or green with envy. There's a whole deep mass consciousness belief already attached to these frequencies. So beyond just this simple, this has already got a history behind it. You've been using this in your language. And so it's time to empower yourselves. It's time to be your true colors and be your true selves. Come to your center. If you don't know what your colors are, it doesn't matter. It's just a tool. There's all these different tools. Sharon's numerology is a tool. Annie's astrology is a tool. There's body workers and therapists and psychics. They're all just different tools to get to your own center, your own personal awareness. This is just one of the fun ways. So some of this, you can do it at your own educational level. It's $12.95 or whatever Pam sells them for, and have fun. Not to isolate or alienate yourself, going, "Oh, I knew I was a yellow. I didn't want to be. I really wanted to be rich." I'll tell you about Grubby Clark after the break. So let's take 15 minutes, and come back. So I'm going to use some different stories off and on to emphasize some of the points. So in the point of being who you are and doing your joy and having it work out, if you'll, I have a friend named Grubby Clark, and Grubby's probably 70 now. And the reason they call him Grubby is every time you see him, he has his tan pants on with the frayed bottoms and no shoes, and his gray hair everywhere and some plaid shirt. And Grubby was my next door neighbor in Hawaii, and he's been a beachcomber before Waikiki Beach was Waikiki Beach, before the Royal Hawaiian or anything was on it. And he didn't have a home, he just lived off papayas and hanging out at the beach and stream water, and the guy was in heaven. And Grubby and Duke Kahanamoku used to surf together all the time. And while they were surfing one day, he and the Duke were sitting there talking about how it really sucks to get hit in the head with a 150-pound mahogany surfboard. I imagine that's really true. Like, maybe it'll kill you. And so here's this wonderful yellow guy. He's yellow with some tan and some green, but mostly yellow. And he's sitting out in the water, and he hasn't got a care in the world doing his yellow thing. And the cool thing is, if you be your true self within doing your joy, you will see the problems that you can fix to bring you greater joy. And oddly enough, if you market it, a lot of other people want it too. So he's sitting out there on his surfboard, and they both decided this sucks. So the Duke loaned him $1,000. They went and found a chemist, and the chemist invented Clark surfboard foam. For those of you who surf in here, every surfboard boat on the planet has Clark surfboard foam. Every flotation device has it. Every bass boat that you can cut in half and still float is Clark foam. For $1,000 and sitting out there on the waves doing what he loves doing, the guy's a multi-billionaire who still call him Grubby. He walks down the street looking like this, never wears shoes, though when you go into his house, his garage is 15,000 square feet. It's 6 or 7 car openings. And if you open, his cars all stay outside. Yellows don't really care. But inside each garage is all his surfboards and his jet skis and his dirt bikes and his hang gliders and his parasailers and his ultralights, and that's yellow heaven. Right? So I lived in Hawaii for a number of years, and I was retired there, so I got a chance to go and play and hang out with all the wealthy yellows. And the common denominator I noticed with the wealthy yellows is most of them, the great majority of them, made their money doing what they loved doing, even though everybody said they were a flake. Then they saw, well, this could make it better, and went and invented it and made a fortune. Sims is a friend of mine in Santa Barbara. Sims, I was playing golf with him out at Montecito a few years ago, and he was talking about, well, I think I'm going to invent this board where you can snow down, because I love, he's a surfer, the Juice, right? They call him the Juice. And he loves surfing. He's a famous surfer, has his own board line out. But he wanted to surf down a mountain. Now, if you look at the mountain, Sims is the one who started all, and I was playing golf with him 2 years before he did it. He said, it's just boring. Skiing's so boring, you have to have all these equipment. I just want my board. And I was, guy's making how many more millions now by doing what he loved doing? The world is full of all these people that just love what they're doing, and then within what they love doing to make it better, see what there is to change. And so don't let the world talk you out of doing your joy because there's no money in it or you can't, you're a loser, it's no good. It's really important to trust your vision, go with your intuition. You came here with a hidden agenda and with a plan, and if you keep resisting yourselves, you keep spreading your energy out instead of coming from your true center, ending all this separation and coming into your being, you're not going to know what it is. You're going to go around trying to please everybody, doing all these other energies. And yeah, you can go out and be the world's most famous this and that, but if it isn't what really brings you great joy, no matter how perfectly you do it, it isn't fulfilling. In fact, that's one of the tests. No matter how perfectly you do something and how much money it makes or how efficient you seem, if it didn't help you feel inspired, you don't feel fulfilled, you didn't do it for you, you did it for them. If you do something for you and you screw up in it, you'll still feel fulfilled and inspired. You say, oh, wow, well, that way doesn't work. Maybe I'll try this way. You get into the flow of the creative solution, even when you make a mistake. It's an insult to injury when you make a mistake doing something you're doing for someone else. Right? You screw it up and you didn't want to do it in the first place. So Grubby's just one of the examples, and Sims. So I have a daughter who's a Betty, so surfer. Is it Betty? Just a surfer girl. So I happen to know some of the hotshot surfers on the planet. So I'll give you a surf analogy, so I'm not a surfer. Now, one of the things about mirroring that I really want to get across today, is that we don't have much time, and I'll do my usual talking really fast, is with this system of recognizing at this core cellular level, at this interface between ethers and matters, this short order chef where we've all said burn two eggs and toast, therefore we had it. If you can pay enough attention, come to your center, use the world as your mirror, gather information, say, what does that say about me? And then go inside and change the order. Once you change it at the core, your body, if we're going to create a law of nature, one of the laws of nature is what you believe is. As soon as you change your core belief, your whole perceptual system's obligated to see what matches that new belief. You do not have to be a better person as on the outside. You don't have to have a higher education. You don't have to act nice. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You don't have to please them. You change it inside and it starts changing outside. I'll give you an example. Do it quickly. My mother is my favorite example. I'll give you a million examples. I grew up with this really lunatic mother who said she wished I was dead even before I was born and hit me every day and yelled at me. And if I would do something psychic, she said, I'm doing this for your own good because they'll hurt you out there. I'm going to kill you so they don't, I think is pretty much what she was saying. And so it was very intense in our household, and I'm the oldest. And any time one of my brothers and sisters made a move, we all got it. So harmony and balance is real important for me. It kept us all safe. So in a moment, you'll get a little story about that. But back to my mom for a minute. And so in my mom's house, my mom's place was like ground zero, and all the neighbors would move, and nobody wanted, this woman would say, don't you cut that tree, don't paint your fence, that's my fence, where's our boundaries, where's our easements, where's the, one of the wealthiest women in Rome, so she's very much used to her money and power, and so it's very intense living with old money bags who's really dysfunctional and in charge. I remember walking in the grocery store with her one day, and I was little, 4 or 5, hand in hand, she walked up to this really fat woman in the grocery store and said, you fat, the disgusting slob, you pig, get out of this food store, you're eating my food, there's starving people. She survived the war, and so she believes that anybody who hasn't understood starvation should suffer also. My mom's, many of her family members were lined up across the street from their restaurant at the catacombs in Italy during the war and shot by the Nazis, 150 people from Rome, and they were made to leave them there. The Nazis wouldn't let them collect them. And so my mom has intimacy issues, and so of course she wished I was dead because I'm now alive and I'm going to cause her great pain. Maybe the Nazis will shoot me. And so, not to lighten up on my mom gets to do her homework. But here's this very intense person, and she's still the same. And a few years ago I went to visit with her, and I'm sitting with her in the middle. Get to be my mom. Here's my mom in the middle, and my 30-year-old brother who still lived with them, he just loved being abused. He's still sitting there. And then my dad, who loved it even more because he's still there, is sitting on this side. My dad is this wonderful yellow, tan, and violet guy. And yellow and tans tend to be what everybody calls nice guys. They're really brilliant people who like to go calmly. They hold the energy and go real smoothly and evenly, and everybody loves how even they are. And he holds everything inside. Tans hold everything inside like computers. And so he's there sitting next to ground zero. Get to be ground zero today. Thanks, Leah. And I'm talking with her, and I said, Mom, I really need to know, is it true you wished I was dead before I was born? Because that's one of the things I had to clear. I already knew since after I was born, and she made that really clear, but it was something I wanted to know about. And so when I was, she goes, yes, it's really true. And as you remember, you know, Uncle Nello and Zonzo, everybody got killed, and, you know, I just was afraid that when I had children that I would get hurt, they would die. My mom never talks this way. My mom usually would say, how dare you, blah, 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 and then it's just a whole Italian thing that happened. Try to shame me. I hate you. I wish you were dead. I hate you all. God damn you all to hell. That's my mom's usual chat. And so I didn't get that day. What I got was it's really true. That's how it is, and I've done this. And we're having this interaction with this intimacy and this real live talk. And then she turns to my brother. And she whacks him as usual. And I thought maybe my mom had changed. She starts whacking him. You good for nothing, useless bum. Can't you see your brother's hungry? He's come all the way from Hawaii. You slob, you pig. And then my brother's going off. Okay, I'll get some meat. Then she turns to my dad. And Francis, you good for nothing, useless thing of a man or speck of a man or however she does her Italian thing. You can't even bring up these guys to be men. They're wimps. She does her whole... And so he gets up and leaves, and then she turns to me and goes, and where were we? My mom's not the least bit healthier, and I'm not all that much better, but I'd done enough homework so that she couldn't mess with me the way she used to. If you learn to change it from the inside, your mirror outside changes. Even the most obnoxious people on the planet either don't see you as you click by, or they think you're quite beautiful, or they don't catch you. It's your issue. You don't need to have it reflected back. It doesn't happen. In other words, the reason for Hitler and the reason for starvation and all this stuff is so that you can project outside on it and own it. And if you quit trying to save the starving and save the Jews and save the whales and all that and come inside and save yourself, then we'll stop needing that as a mirror on the outside to reflect back to you. So if you want to, what's that saying? If you want to save everything, save yourself. That's very much true. If you want to be one of the chosen, you simply choose yourself. That's how easy it is. That's the plan. And I'll talk to you in a sec about how to do it. So if you will go inside and make the changes, you have to get centered. You have to be selfish. You have to stay conscious. You need to stop judging stage one. You have to judge stage two. What does that mean about me? And dismiss them versus look at that SOB over there. Or how dare she walk into church like that? If we can have that at first, if we're in the habit of it, and then use judgment. Now, these are negative judgments. You can also do it positively. We can use that negative judgment to see, now, is that reminding me of a personal power issue, a personal value issue, or a personal safety issue? In my experience, and I'm still playing with it, but so far I've seen it comes down to one or a combination of those three. Okay? Now, in my world, as I told you earlier, harmony and balance is real important. Otherwise, you die. So when things are all scrambled, I freak out. So there's a more positive way to do things. I gave you the negative. Here's the positive. When I went down to do some readings in L.A. a while ago, I got this really nice room because my L.A. people are used to Hollywood-style stuff. So I had this really nice suite, and they had flowers in it, and I brought my candles, and I had the candles. Was really nice. And when I walked in, the TV said, "Welcome, Mr. Rob," and I said, "Oh, good, this is my room. It's so wonderful. How did they know?" And so this really gorgeous room, and I felt wonderful, and I usually rearrange the furniture. I didn't want to rearrange. It felt harmonious and balanced. Uh-oh, homework assignment. If, in fact, you think this room is so cool, Rob, then you would have thought that another room might not have been so cool. In other words, it, in a harmonious, wonderful way, I got to see I had a safety issue by feeling safe, where I might not have felt safe in a different room, or might not have, it might have needed to be rearranged so my true self could be there. And so I didn't change, I didn't call the desk and go, I need a shittier room, I want to do my homework. I just did this cool little homework assignment I'll show you, and then enjoyed the room. And the homework assignment is to remember where your attention goes, your energy flows. We've said a few dozen times. If you say, hello, core cellular system, or hello, soul, or hello, core beingness, or hello, higher self, or whatever you want to call it, hello to that etheric interface and matter interface of me, I am valuable, I am powerful, and I am safe. I am a being of light. You can add on, these are some add-ons. The valuable, powerful, and safe are the most important. I like to remind myself that I'm a being of light in full expression on this plane, and that everything I think, say, and do is perfect, regardless of the outcomes or consequences, and that I like myself and I love myself. Now, it sounds really long when you say it outside. If you run it inside, it's a blip in time, and if you can create a hologram or a feeling of it, you can send it through you. So in the middle of a sentence, when somebody does something, instead of somebody doing something to piss you off, they actually reminded you of an issue. Right? And so you, that person's, oh, that asshole, I'm going to tell, no, just thank you very much, and okay, the universe just reminded me in a negative way, or you can walk into that fancy hotel room and go in a wonderful way, that I have an issue. And bear in mind at first when you look at the issue, if one of your issues is your value issue, and you don't think you deserve to be healed, or you don't think you'll even be able to figure this out so you can heal yourself, you got your first homework assignment. I am valuable. If you look at a drama and go, I'm looking at this drama, and all I can see is this asshole here. I totally don't get what this means about me. Get that usually it's a value issue. I'm not even good enough to heal myself. So you got the homework assignment. I am valuable. I am powerful. I am safe. Run it. Hello, core cellular system. Run it through there. Now, bear in mind that your brain and your perceptual system is totally in charge of mimicking what your core belief system is. At the moment, your core belief system is that I'm not safe, or I'm not valuable, or I'm not powerful. So if this makes you feel better, you can go, yes, brain, I know I'm not valuable, powerful, and safe according to your estimation, and I should run. But besides that, hello, cellular system. You can acknowledge your brain. You're not lying to yourself. You're just reframing a belief system. Any of you do computers or play with them in here? Computers are a very fascinating thing. You can type a file into a computer that has all this information. I can call it Rob, and I can put my entire life history on it. And then I can put in another file with the exact same name that says Rob, and it'll be blank. And if you put that into the computer, and the computer will ask you, do you want to replace the old file with a new one? Do you make the mistake of saying yes, or have the great joy of saying yes and don't have to do that stuff anymore? It totally replaces it, and it's gone almost forever unless you have a recovery system. But this is like computers. You're going to take a new file in with the information you want, and it's going to replace the old file. Does that make sense? And effortlessly and easily, don't beat yourselves up. You don't have to force it. It's in part of the main reason for doing it this way is to start getting conscious of the outside reality as being a mirror, and to start empowering yourself and see that it's totally your stuff. Now, the therapists are using that projection, and we have all the terms, but the trick that I've found in therapy is that we only get to go so far. Everybody's going, wow, it's been really nice in therapy. I know I've totally been abused, and my school teacher molested me, and I got beat up by little Johnny in sixth grade. Now, what do I do with it? Thank you very much. I've got all this stuff. It's none of them's fault. It's not our fault. It's all about telling us 24 hours a day that we have an issue. We're not here to save all those things. They're just mirrors. As soon as you drop those issues, we don't have to go fix our family stuff. If you can just get that you fix it inside, I'm still working on it. I'd like to fix my family stuff. I don't think that'll fix it. I believe that my family's just one mirror of that core belief system I came on the planet with. So you watch all these people working really hard to fix their family stuff. And as soon as they fix it, the drama shows up somewhere else, because all we're doing is pulling the weed and not the roots. So this is one of the ways to get to the roots. It's the next step from affirmations. It all seems to be going linearly. First we have affirmations, and then Louise Hay talks about talking to specific organs. And now we're going beyond organs. Instead of brain and body and then organs, we're now going to a core system. And there's probably, as usual, more beyond that. It's just one more middle. But it's the one that I'm up with today, so I'd like to share with you. And does that make sense? Anybody have any questions about that? Yes. Oh, that's a good question. My mom has taken my course for 37 years. I started doing readings at age 5 for some pretty amazing people, and I left home at 13 and have been a professional reader since then. Yeah, and so I was an adult at a very early age. Indigos are interesting people in that we have a certain way we do things, and we can't not tell what we believe to be the truth. I could not tell my mom that her way was right or that I believed in it, so it was very intense. Michael Jackson's the only famous indigo. I consider myself the infamous indigo. Most indigos aren't of age yet. The indigo era starts in about 7 to 10 years, and we're the new age children. There happens to be one in the room, and there's a very cool guy right there. Can I point at you? That very cool guy in the red shirt's an indigo. Indigos are amazing, amazing individuals, and I'm not saying that because I'm one. Well, yes, I am. Indigos are here to teach about peace and harmony and the new age, and all the violets, and there's a lot in this room, are here in this violet era we're in to bring about the enlightenment, to bring the light in that it's even possible. And so you'll find with indigos that we see things differently, and we don't always agree with the rules and regulations of things. And so I'm doing my best to explain in words, which is, I've been trying since I was very little with my mom. Now, she was perfect for me because I always tried to explain to her how it worked, and she was always in disagreement. So I got to work on better ways to do it. But the indigo era is different than what everybody's promising. We're not just going to go to heaven and everything's great. It's an era of more peace and at ease and an ending of separation and a oneness. And if you probably notice, there's a real strong move for people to network or do community or to move to places where there's like-minded thinking instead of just the weather. Or I moved here for the weather, sorry. Obviously, a person who sweats like this needs to be cold, but I don't want snow. So there's a big move to start integrating and get reconnected. And that's to lead into the indigo era. There's a lot, all the systems are going to collapse. Watch, and this isn't to scare anybody, it's have great joy. What's happening is all the systems are designed to separate, to systematize, and things are really changing. And we're in the decade of truth, as I said last month, but I'll say it again for the new people here. The decade of truth we're in the middle of, or into it, and everybody's hidden agendas are coming up. There's no more secrets. Yeah. Almost over, though. There's no more secrets. And so if you look, everybody's sexual abuse issues are coming up. All the priests are getting busted for what they did. Anita Hill and so-and-so, Thomas, and all the stuff in the courts and all the systems and our financial system. California is not going to be solvent for more than a couple more years. So that'll be one of the most interesting ones to go. But not to scare anybody, as everything collapses, people will pull together. It's an amazing thing. World Trade Center. Yeah, of course, we had a little intervention. We had to light it up. But all systems are wonderful as long as you stay conscious within them. And we talked about some of them last month, about how Madison Avenue does different things with you and takes advantage of truth and manipulates them. For those of you who weren't there, you missed it. Ha! So this decade of truth is all about expanding, and it's all about coming to your center. It's about ending separation. You can come to your center and expand. In fact, that's the whole thing. Once you come to your center, you realize you're one with everything. So everybody goes, well, if I come to my center, I'll be isolated and alone, and I'll go on that lonely path they talk about. That's not true. It's only true at first as you really break free of all the attachments to value and power and safety that are out there. So if we do our homework inside, we can make a big difference on the outside. Like I said before, and I don't know if you guys heard this from me, I'd hate to be the last person on the planet that still has an issue to work on, and that's why there's a war happening. Oh my God, it's me. It's your fault. Do your homework. So everything outside of you is a reflection of you, and this doesn't change your lives. You don't have to quit your job to do this. You don't have to go to an ashram. You can still do whatever it is you're doing, however it is you're doing it, just more consciously. Own your reality. Quit blaming the boss or the other people in the office. And if you're not happy at your job, it's real important you start telling yourself the truth. This would be really fascinating to me. I'd get a client in the morning who really hated his plumbing job and wished he could be a writer and never fails. In the afternoon, I get a writer who really hates his job and wants to be a plumber. Well, you guys should just meet each other. If you're doing a job you hate doing, you're keeping someone else most likely from doing that job, and maybe that's the person that has yours. Somebody has to let go first. It's like a metaphysical Mexican standoff. Once one of you lets go, the other person goes, there's my job, and they take it, and there's yours is open. But you have to be brave, and you have to be fearless. In other words, you have to be in the moment. You have to stay present. You have to come to your center. Fear only exists when you leave the moment. In fact, if you look again, as I said last month, when your greatest fear happens, you're too busy handling it to be afraid. For those of you who've had a fear happen in your life, when you're busy, a divorce or whatever, you go, God, I'm too busy addressing this to be afraid. Now, if I just sit back and rest, then I can get scared because I can think about 2 minutes from now or 3 minutes from now. Fear is just a tap on the shoulder. If you'll stay present and if you'll stay in the moment, life's a very wonderful thing. It just keeps unfolding. If you keep trying to sacrifice today for a better tomorrow, it ain't going to happen. In fact, today is a better tomorrow for everyone in this room. We were sacrificing our lives 10 years ago for this better day. Is it what you thought it would be 10 years ago when you were saving money or studying hard or dressing the right way or figuring out how to be better? Did it make a difference? Are you totally satisfied? Is this the good old day you thought it would be? So why sacrifice today for a tomorrow that isn't going to be what you think it's going to be? It's real important that this is the good old day, here and now, the present. This is an aside to all this. This is something fun that Annie and I have been chatting about in a book that I'm reading that I enjoyed. In order to create what you, once you start coming to your center and deciding you want to move forward, then it's real important to decide what it is you want. That's part of telling your truth that we talk about. What is our truth? If we can get into the habit of telling our truth, even though we know full well we'll totally change our mind in 2 seconds and be okay with that, then we can start following our joy. Then we can start coming to our center and saying, well, this is what I want to do. No, that isn't. This is what I want. But as we start, and then pretty soon, we might actually go 3 steps into that one. The thing is, there's nothing wrong with that. We even told when we were little that we can't do that. But what is it? When you meet people, you shake their hand, and what do? You have to tell them the one thing you do that identifies you for the rest of your life? I have a really great answer for that. You just say, anything I want, when I want, how I want, what do? It's really the truth. Now, what you want to do might be only one thing, and you're choosing to do it out of shame and fear, but then it's still the truth. It's still anything you want. It just happens to be the same one thing for 15 years. Maybe we'll change our mind. Now, bear in mind, you got this real early. When you were in school, what's the first thing, you know, when you're in kindergarten, you talk about, okay, let's draw pictures and let's, what are we going to be when we grow up? Oh my God, a career decision, I'm only 5. It's real important to see that you've been brainwashed way back when into making certain choices and having to do it perfect and not make a mistake or somebody else will get that job or you'll be homeless and sick and all alone and not loved and not a good person. And be your true selves and take chances and move along into different things and recognize that we are just like kids. When we come back to our true being in the momentness like kids have, we will change our mind. The only consistent thing is we will be consistently inconsistent. It's our job. If everybody was consistently inconsistent, we'd quit projecting on each other, hoping they'd be safe and sane enough to hold a reality for us so we can use them as our projection and our safety and our security. And it's not their job any more than it's our job to do it for them. We've all been told from day one that we have to hold these energies and save everybody, and the only people we're here to really save is ourselves. Any questions on any of that? Yeah. So in the last thing I want to, oh good, I'm going to get you, say it.
I have a question about mirroring. Okay, so when you're doing your homework, and...
Thanks, Joanne, that's good. So when you see the issue, It's always, I am powerful, I am valuable, and I am safe. And it's when the issue is up, either hopefully in a very optimistic format, like a really pretty room makes you feel whatever, and you go, oh gosh, that's one of my issues. But I am valuable, I am powerful, and I am safe. Everything I think, say, and do is perfect, regardless of the outcomes or consequences. I like myself and I love myself. And I add on, for me, I'm a being of light and full expression on this plane, just to remind me. As we are all humans in search of a light experience, though most of us have forgotten that. And I'm sorry, we're light beings in search of a human experience. And most of us seem to be thinking we have to go and find the light. And we always are the light. And if we go searching for the light, be careful what you ask for. You might just get it. It doesn't fix things. The issues just get handled at a more intense frequency. So the grass is always greener on the other side. Another green comment, because greens always want everybody else's stuff. The grass is always greener. I could have said bluer, because Kentucky bluegrass is there. Grass is always greener on the other side. It'd be real careful of that, because everything looks really rosy, but inherently everything has its ups and downs, based on your issues, not on the grass. Each person's issues will be... We can't run away from ourselves. Any of you tried moving or tried divorces? I have three ex-wives. I always thought they were all the... You guys must get together and gang up and decide to do these same issues. It's like they write each other and go, this really pisses them off. Why don't you do it? Yeah. It's not them. It's me. It took me... I had a therapist friend said, Rob, it's going to take at least three wives for you to figure it out. And totally right. And I thought it was them. It wasn't them. It was me. So we can try running, but you can't hide. Is that one of the sayings? Yes. And this will be the last question. Well, that's a good question. You asked if we as beings make mistakes. There is no such thing as a mistake. That can be a really lengthy answer. Usually out of my mouth they are, but I'll try to do it short. For a green person, greens have a fear of failure, and they try to be perfect. It's one of the things about being so brilliant. And you see, the most judgmental color on the planet is green. And let me put it this way. If you're going to be a leader and you're going to make quick decisions, you also need to make quick judgments, right? And therefore, you're a very judgmental person. And so when we try to look at things, we are always assessing. It's one of the positives or the negatives, depending on how you look at it. The difference between a weed and a flower is a judgment, and it's totally up to the person making the judgment. But how you would repair things will be different than other people. You would look at it in a mistake-oriented basis. It's part of the frequency. So if you think you made a mistake, you did, but then eventually you get so tired of thinking you made mistakes, you get over it. Greens use these sorts of words, you'll recognize them. I should have done this and I should have done that. They're always shooting on themselves. Or I'll try to do this and I'll try to do that. Here's Rob lifting his arm and here's Rob not lifting his arm, not, at least not that arm. And here's Rob trying to lift his arm or go to the bathroom. One of the other. Try implies it hasn't happened yet and you haven't got your arm up yet. In fact, there was this little green man in a Star Wars movie that said there is no try. There's do or do not. It's interesting they made Yoda green and he talked about trying. I thought that was very cute. So it's green, one of Green's favorite words. So you'll find that you're going to be try-oriented, and so your exhaustion will come when you keep trying different things and the failure stuff happens. For the yellows, it's when they feel restricted. They're not so concerned about mistakes. It's just, will that limit me and can I now try again? Yellows have overs or do-overs. Isn't that what they call me when we were little? This is a do-over? They make a mistake, oh, so what? I'll do it over. Yellows balance their checkbook by changing banks. That's a do-over, right? Yeah. That's a big person do-over. Yeah, but it's still a do-over. And so I just want to give you an example for those of you who've done that. And greens don't do that. They usually end up owning the bank. And somebody else balances the checkbook for them. Yeah, so... that's all I have time for today, and so I'd like to thank you all for coming very much, and come again.